This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
Gene Johnson. AfterBuzz TV. From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Masters of Sex After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Masters of Sex After Show.
Let's talk about all the good things that could be.
What?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Masters of Sex, Season 1, Episode 5. And, of course, we're going to get right into the dirty and talk about Masters of Sex this episode. I am your host, Spicy Madi, and I am joined here with the sexpert, Jenna.
Hello.
And we have the wonderful and amazing Roy in the building.
Oh, so nice.
And today we have a guest host with us to give us the male perspective.
That's right.
Lim is in the building.
What's up?
He's gonna give us the guy's perspective for once on Masters of Sex. Nice little treat for us out there. And so this episode today, we got a little deep. I'm a little emotional. Like
this episode made me cry. I'm so sensitive. I was tearing up, like crying.
Yeah,
like,
but finally, freakingly, we get to see this side of Dr. Masters.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's just dig right into topic number one. Okay, Ethan, this guy who I've had a major crush on since the beginning of the show. We're starting to see different levels
really?
To him.
Yeah,
he's
had a crush?
So cute.
He is so cute. I don't care. I don't care how crazy he is. I don't care how pansy he is. He is fine.
He is fine, and he can get it. Yeah.
He's all right. He's all right.
I've liked Ethan since the beginning of the show, but I didn't like when he was, of course, you know, whooping up on Virginia.
That was my favorite part.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's crazy. But it's nice to see that he was just, you know, going out of his mind because of the sexual connection between them. And now to see him dealing in another relationship with Vivian,
who's also his boss's daughter.
Right.
Right. Makes it 10 times more juicy.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I mean, she's also, like, really young. She's going to be 19, she said, mm-hmm. and still a baby. And he's just kind of going on a crazy roller coaster with how...
We don't know how old he is, though, do we?
Well, he's...
Older than 19?
He's older than 21.
Yeah. I mean, he's in college, but, yeah, he's still older than 19.
Yeah.
Well, what was interesting was that he... I don't think that he was extremely attracted to her, extremely, you know, lustful after her, but he still decides that he's going to sleep with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was a lot of nostalgia because, you know, when they had the conversation in the cafeteria and she comes up to him and he's trying to figure out who she is and then finds out that's his, you know, this girl that he liked when he was, you know, young, and all of a sudden now she appears and she's of age, but he's still a little leery because, of course, it's his boss's daughter. So he's like, do I proceed? Do I not? You know, what's the situation?
But the thing that kind of weirds me out, it's probably a better way to go about it, is the fact that he was still an adult when he met her at her 16th birthday. Because mm-hmm. remember, she was telling him about how when she first saw him,
right.
she was too shy, but he was like, oh, I'm an adult. You know, it's just all fun and games. And
right.
obviously she took it the wrong way, mm-hmm. kind of getting more emotional with it. But it just kind of weirds me out a little bit that he was there for the father, like as his boss's kind of, hey, come out to my daughter's thing. And he's like, yeah, you know, like jumping on it.
There is an age gap, but
yeah.
I don't feel as if he's taking advantage of the situation. I think that she is being more of the sexually charged one because
right.
he didn't really go after her. She pursued him.
That's right.
She led him on. She semi-seduced him with her provocative words. You know, she was dropping enough hints, telling him, like, pretty much, you can hit it if you want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so he did.
Yeah, and I'm sure if the whole Virginia thing didn't happen between them, he would have been more level-headed about it and realized, see those signs coming at him and kind of like, wait, hold on. Not a great move to go, but
well,
go
he's
for
definitely
it.
Being like a man whore, sleeping with every single person in the hospital right now.
Oh, that's all because he's trying to get over Virginia.
Yeah but is this a rebound situation again, though, with Vivian?
Well, again, I think it's because of the history that they have. I think he's very cautious because he doesn't want to.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
To be another girl, another conquest that he had, you know, with the other girls. I think he's like, okay, this is something that I really have to step lightly on, which is why he was, you know, I don't know if I should bring it to the house, but he was drunk. And then he's like, well, come on. And then he was still kind of, you know, trying to feel his way. And then all of a sudden she was taking off the bra, doing whatever she wanted to do.
I don't think that he wanted it, like, at all.
I kind of agree.
Don't think that he wanted it. He said that he wasn't the marrying type, and she said that they can have, you know, casual fun, and then she totally flipped it on him at the end. So it's like, no.
Okay. Mm-mm. In her defense, though, I think
she... In her defense?
What? Yes. Okay.
Defend her.
Because she flipped it on him. The thing is I think that she really had it in her mind that in order to get this guy, she will take any circumstances necessary that he will give her in order to be with him.
So she went a little crazy.
So she was like, I'll have casual sex if that's all that he has to offer me. Once she has the casual sex with him, which was really awkward, losing her virginity to him. Right. Even his body language was awkward.
Right.
There wasn't...
That was like... There's less so little... many awkward sex scenes.
Yeah. It was very, very weird.
Why do y'all think he came so quick? Like, because why do you think... Because she was a virgin?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Because she was so tight?
Yeah. I think that was definitely what it was to cause that to happen.
I think he came quick because he didn't care about her.
Did he
I don't think that there was a connection.
Did he not have an orgasm, though? I don't know
He said he was finished, and then when she was, we found out later it was blood, but he was that wet, and he's like, well, that's me. He's thinking that, you know, he came all over her.
Unless and he pulled out because he knew what was going on, and he just couldn't mentally finish it, unless that's the way it went. And then the blood was the lube, I guess you could say, it, like, the lubricant. The
so what? So it could be two things, okay? You guys,
I'm not the
I am confused by that, by this sex scene, because either he meant he couldn't go on because he was turned off by the pain that he was, and the uncomfort that he was causing her, or he meant I can't go on because I just came prematurely.
Well, then from a male's perspective, when you lost your virginity, did it happen very quickly?
Yes.
For you? Okay. So could what happened with him be very similar to what you experienced?
Well, he obviously
He's
wasn't
not a
virgin.
He wasn't a virgin.
He wasn't a virgin. She was the virgin. But I do think because of him thinking that he came on her because of the fluid that was on her body,
you're right.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I think he came quickly.
Yeah.
Probably because she was a virgin and she was tight. I mean, it was awkward, but I think he did because I think overall he's attracted to her. I don't think he's not attracted to her.
She's hot. She's banging. Horrible.
She's the best looking one so far.
Yeah. She's
aside
gorgeous.
Of Virginia. Virginia's
I think that there's a soft tenderness to her even more than Virginia.
Exactly.
Virginia has a very like hard look.
Yeah. Right,
she's striking, but it's very hard. It's very mature.
No,
hers is soft and innocent.
That's hence the virgin part.
Because she's soft and innocent.
Very much.
But what I thought was interesting was that she was taking advice from her mother at her 30th anniversary. The Scullys have a 30th anniversary, and her mother tells her, men don't know what they want. You have to tell them. You have to make them love you. And so in her defense, that's what I was saying, in her defense, she was going to play it cool, but then her mom tells her, be aggressive and force the relationship to make him love you. And that's when she takes charge and she demands and tells him, hey, we're together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's a very common theme for women to do, or girls, or young age, whatever, that at that point when you lose your virginity or whatever it is when you want a guy, that's kind of some of the information people like to give out. You know, just go for him. Make him, he doesn't know what he wants, make him do it. And then that goes in the whole crazy girl category and people become cray cray that way.
Yeah,
you
forget
know?
That.
Wait, how many people really marry the guy that they lose their virginity to, though?
It used to be popular. Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, used to be.
This is set in the 50s.
Not before 16 this and pregnant.
This is set in the 50s, so we got to understand the timeline.
Because if you definitely try to pull that move now, you lose your virginity to a guy and you're like, hey, we're together forever. Right. Mm-hmm. He really is going to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But that sucks that society has changed that, so, that much sexually.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, that's the case. You're crazy for thinking that.
Yeah.
Do you also think that there's a situation because it seems like her father really wants him to be with her? Do you get that? Do you see what I'm saying?
Her father really is pulling for... So at the 30th anniversary, he was introducing Ethan to other you know, execs there.
That's true.
And so it did seem as if he was favoring Ethan.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or is it just to bother Dr. Masters, though?
I don't think it was to bother him. I feel like he's playing a game because all his life he's played a game. The boss is always, you know, he knows the pattern. You got to get a wife. You got to have children. Even though that's not what he wants. You know what he wants. He wants a man. That's what he wants, you know, but he can't go that route. So I feel like he's playing the game. Well, when he retires, he's going to want someone in his circle to have it still in the family.
Exactly.
So that's a really good point.
And he's really, and as you saw, because as he introduced him, he's like, oh, he's the one that's going to take over when we're all old and gone. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for him that, and also the conversation that he had about, you know, take her to get some egg cream, you know, the ice cream back then, what they called it, egg cream. I don't know what that is. But, you know, he's like, are you going to take her out? You should take her out. You know, so he's pushing it out there for him to basically, you know, he knows that she likes him. Yeah. Take the bait.
But I have never seen it actually worked. I was so surprised. He was like, okay, I have a girlfriend now.
Because
she was like, we're going to be together. And he never referenced that. Her casual sex remarks and how it was just going to be fun and easy and casual.
I think that him saying he has a girlfriend now was out of convenience. Mm-hmm. I think that in that moment, in order to make Virginia feel comfortable with him taking on the responsibility of being a father figure to her son, he let, like, some of, you know, he smoothed out some of that burden for her by saying, oh, well, I'm in a relationship, so I'm no threat to you anymore as far as a relationship is concerned or feelings involved. So it kind of was convenient for him to have this situation or this opportunity with Vivian that he is now in a relationship.
Yeah, and it kind of works because in his mind, it's kind of like having her in his life is better than not having her in his life.
Right.
Even though it's very torturing, but he even talked with Vivian about how, do you ever daydream or imagine someone else when you're having sex? Does that, you know, so obviously he's doing that more.
And I don't really feel like he has any option to get out of it, even if he wanted to. I feel like he's
because
stuck.
Of the nature of the situation.
Yeah. As he quoted, you break it, you buy it.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, once the whole virginity thing was found out, then it was like, it was a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
It wasn't just sex anymore. Now I took her virginity. Now I have to, you know, make some things happen. You know, all this has to happen now because it's her virginity. And again, we're talking in the 50s. I have to do something about this.
Well, why was he sending her flowers? What was that about? Was it he felt bad
that
having taken her virginity?
It was a follow-up.
Okay.
It was a follow-up.
So he's contemplating, do I send her which color? And how many do I send her?
I love that whole conversation. It was like, well, orange means this, blue means that.
Right,
like,
you know,
it's like, shit, it's true. It does.
It's true. The flower color does mean something. If I got yellow roses from a guy, I would be like, what? It's over. He hates me.
Or he thinks I smell good. One of the two.
Well, yellow roses is that's what
it
was
is friendship.
It was friendship. It is friendship. Yeah. It is friendship.
So yeah, so yellow roses, she received those, but yet she was playing it cool when she had the opportunity with him alone. And I kind of like the dynamic of them. I like her being this aggressive character coming after him because I think eventually he is possibly going to fall for her for his, you know, just like he doesn't know
maybe if she just stays around, he'll end up just loving her out of
I don't want to say pity, but I think that he's going to see that Virginia isn't as amazing as he thinks that she is.
Oh, you think, oh, it's going to come out.
Yeah, I think that he has this...
I don't think he's ever going to let that out.
Really? Mm-mm. I think he has this thing in his head. I think he has this vision, this dream, this ideal of her.
He's very infatuated.
That's what
he's
happens
very
when
infatuated.
You have good sex.
Yeah.
Person
there you go,
grows
Masters
a halo. And
right.
They can do no wrong.
A halo and wings. Right. Right.
Well, but usually it's the reversal. Usually it's these women who get attached after sex. And on this episode, it seems to be that it's the men. Because if you notice, there's the study that Dr. Masters is doing with Virginia. And what's the name of the blonde gentleman?
Austin. And then James, the female.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So they're having sex for these experiments. And he's not able to get it up. He's limp for whatever reason. They didn't tell us. I don't know if he's nervous. But he's saying that he wants it to be... what's the blonde girl's name again?
Jane.
Jane. They're not as significant characters. I really should learn their names. But right. They're having this sex, and he's saying that he needs it to be her. He needs it to be her. And while I'm watching, I'm like, gosh, did he fall in love with her because of the sex?
Yeah.
Because he really was trying to make it passionate and make it meaningful while he was doing it to
he's
her.
He's married, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's married, yeah. But he was always a player, though. Yeah, he always had girls on the side. So the whole situation, this was attracted to him because now in science, he can do this, and it's all for the nature of science. Whereas I think he was falling in love or having strong feelings, whereas she was really on the science, like, let's do this for science. Mm-hmm. Let's further the cause. Mm-hmm. But I'm agreeing with you. I don't understand why now, because the first time, yes, he was with a different partner.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it up. Okay, sure. He wants the other girl. She comes, Jane comes in the play, and now he still can't.
Yeah.
So there's something there.
It might be the guilty conscience, you know, coming in and be like, I'm married. I want him.
But he didn't mention anything about his wife. I think that we're going to find out, like, it's a medical condition or something. Maybe his blood pressure. Yeah. I don't know. It's something else that they're going to reveal later on.
They probably will, more than
likely. Did you guys notice Virginia's face when he first, the first scene with him and then the new girl, and she, like, introduced herself. But when they were sitting there waiting for them to start having sex, she's like, and they couldn't do it. Her face was like, told you so to Dr. Mass.
Oh, yeah.
How the couple should be, there should be a chemistry.
Exactly. Because he was disagreeing with her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. I was like,
Yeah. He's learning a lot from her. Like, she is constantly, I see it in further episodes that he's learning more from her because, first he was like, oh, this is my assistant. Mm-hmm. You don't have a degree. You know, he even told her that one time when, you know, you don't have the background I have. If you can tell me what to do once you go through all the schooling I did. But because of everything that's happening and the further developments, he's starting to really pay attention to what she's saying.
Or gain a little bit of respect for her.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I think that's happening a lot.
Now, what do you guys think about this study? Should the couples be attached or unattached?
I think that what is it that they're just trying to learn what happens during sex.
Yeah, what your body does.
Right.
Through an orgasm.
Through an orgasm, right. So I think that it would make sense for it to be couples because usually with partners, there's already a comfort there. There's a ability to know what your partner likes, how to please them. You can probably get them, you know, from A to Z quicker as far as coming is concerned. So if you're trying to get to that point, why not be with someone who already knows your body?
I know. I think that it would be very hard to gather a bunch of people that would randomly have sex without knowing the other person. And likewise, I think that you can't really... I would be a completely different person in bed with someone I had no emotional attachment to.
Correct.
As to when I have, you know, like, emotionally connected, attracted to, really enjoy this person, my sex with that person I would be so awkward. I would be fumbling around, and I'm someone that's very comfortable sexually, but I would be fumbling around, and I would be nervous, and it wouldn't be my response, like, the excitement, you know, phase would not be the same. They wouldn't be able to measure these things accurately.
But there's also the argument that nothing's better than new sex with a new partner. But the
with
difference
a new partner
is
that you're attracted
know
to
the new partner. Yeah, right. Like strangers on the street, it's a little bit tougher to get away.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what they're going through when they're trying to perform this for the doctors.
Well, and it doesn't surprise me that Dr. Masters was, you know, his response was unattached because his, you know, there's a theme in this whole show of him being unattached. So I feel like that's his comfort zone.
Right.
Unattached.
Oh, most definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Dr. Masters is every episode being more revealed to us as, you know, he's this cold exterior, but I feel like every episode they're letting him be a little bit more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn this episode that he too has a condition of sleepwalking that's attributed to his childhood.
Right.
And whatever dysfunction happened with his father and his mother when he was growing up, we know that he was abused, but we still don't understand why it's triggering a sleepwalking effect for him.
I know. And I know this is jumping around, but I'm so curious to figure out what he was talking that what that conversation with his mom was about, what the sleepwalking meant and how it infects everybody around them and everything and everyone. You know, I'm just wondering, like, if that was I am assuming it was a trauma response, but I'm wondering what's triggering that now because she didn't just lose the baby. I mean, it would make sense if she lost the baby and he started sleepwalking. There was that trauma.
What's
but
happening
what
now?
Has triggered it? Is it Virginia?
Could have been the stress with actually having to have a kid.
The pregnancy,
I was just gonna say
being
that,
a father, because he even said how he was debating about even wanting to be a father
or not,
and if it was gonna help her. And then he thought it was his fault. But we'll get into that. But
do
I mean,
you all, I'm sorry.
No,
do,
go ahead.
Do you all think that you know, based on going back to the beginning, when it all started, about how he didn't disclose that he had a low sperm count. Mm-hmm. And he was going through the motions like it was all on her. Do you think that he didn't tell her because I think subconsciously he did not want to have a child? Because why else would he not disclose that?
No, I think that it's a time period thing.
The shame.
The shame and embarrassment of not being able to have a high enough sperm count and him, it being all on him. I don't think he could take that.
Well, I think that brings up a good point because I didn't think about the possibility of him really not wanting a child. So the fact that he kept allowing her to go through all these studies and take mm-hmm. these drugs and do these tests, mm-hmm. knowing that he was putting a lot of pressure on his wife mm-hmm. and him really not wanting a child, I think that could be a 50-50. I think it could be the embarrassment in mm-hmm. addition to him not really wanting this baby.
Yeah.
And you see, when he found out that that she was pregnant, he wasn't that excited about it.
No, he wasn't excited at all.
And I think that's the guilt that's troubling him is, gosh, I don't want this baby, and then he thinks that he wished it into existence.
Yeah, and then I also think he doesn't want Libby either, because when he sleptwalk, he packed up, she mentioned, her clothes, just mm-hmm. as if she thought it was for when she goes into labor,
right.
but also the baby's clothes. So he was putting away their stuff. So in a way, maybe he's trying to, like, subconsciously doesn't want to be with
right.
her either.
Well, you
which
know,
which you already can tell.
Well,
yeah.
he's in love with Virginia.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
He's in love with Virginia.
Does he know what love is? Like, I don't know. I think he's in infatuation with her. I don't know that he's in love with her.
I don't think it's a matter of he doesn't know what love is. I don't think he knows how to show love. Because I think that he definitely, and maybe it's not love yet. I mean,
I
it could
so.
Be just an infatuation, but I mean, he obviously cares for her more than he cares for his wife.
And we don't really know how they became together yet, do we? Of how they got together. Cause just like Ethan and Vivian, maybe there was a father involved with mm-hmm. trying to set them up and mm-hmm. being like, this looks good for you. So maybe that happened with him and Libby. As to how they got into their relationship.
You're talking about their marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point, because I was watching the show thinking the same thing. And I'm watching the show and I'm like, how did Libby fall in love with someone like this? Mm-hmm. How did she marry a man like this? How did she even get close to a man like this?
Same.
Because he's so emotionally disconnected and
right.
cold
yeah.
with everything, from when they have sex to when they're talking to when she loses her baby. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah. every single aspect, he's just withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been an arranged marriage.
Yeah, and there's other characters that you see that too, with Betty, the former prostitute who marries mm-hmm. the pretzel guy because mm-hmm. it's not for love. It's because
right.
just the way
security.
Yes, exactly. And then I think the only characters we actually see where there might be potentially love involved is Jane and Austin. Or I'm sorry, Jane and is Austin?
Yeah.
Okay. I keep doing that with them together.
But Jane's not in love with Austin. Remember?
But that's because he's married. So what if he wasn't married?
If that wasn't in the
equation. We're going to play the what if card.
I mean, there's obviously some attraction on Jane's part.
Yeah, because before she was like all about it. She
right.
was into it.
She
and
did
then
get excited.
After
you know,
the study was
right.
over, she's like, I can't do that with
right.
you. Like, she wanted to, but she couldn't.
But she wasn't married.
Yeah.
It's,
sorry,
it's
I didn't mean to go like
yeah.
on a whole, like connect the dots.
The one thing that I find interesting, though, if you look at some of the previous episodes leading up to this, I mean, she finally, you know, the straw broke when the kid, not only that the kid being gone, because even with her having to lose the kid, she still wanted him there. Remember when she was going in and she's like, I know we didn't make this kid together.
Right.
But I wanted to lose it together. Like, she still wanted him there. Even all
or was that
she
a threat, though?
No.
I don't think it was a threat. I think she
no,
really,
I don't
cause
think
if
it was
you,
a threat.
If
I think
you
she's
look
reaching.
At, she
reaching.
Is. Because if you look at the previous episodes, all the stuff that he was about being emotionless and being late and mm-hmm. all these kind of things, she still had his back.
Yeah.
She still was there for him. She still wanted to console him. Whatever he wanted, she wanted to deliver, even to the point of now she's losing what she really loved, but mm-hmm. she still wants him there. Until at the end when he isn't there for her afterwards, and then she's just done. And
yeah.
she just walks off.
Which, you know, honestly, good for her. Finally, like,
oh,
getting
yeah.
on her own
oh,
and just
sure.
being like, F you, I don't need you. And, like, mindset. I don't know if she's literally, we'll see in the next episode
right.
if she actually does go down with her guns. But still, it's just, it was amazing to see her kind of stand up
mm-hmm.
in a way, you
mm-hmm.
know?
I think so.
Well,
yeah.
And she did it silently, though.
Well,
she what did she say? Did she say anything in reaction to
him? At the end, when she walked out, it was a silent kind of thing.
Yeah.
But even the whole process when she was demanding him to tell her
mm-hmm.
if the baby's dead or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She was demanding him
right.
to tell him versus letting it go.
You know, I'm curious. I mean, we all know that, you know, there's something between Virginia and Dr. Masters. But I'm curious to see how their relationship falls apart. I don't feel like Dr. Masters would ever leave Libby, no matter how strong his attraction towards mm-hmm. Virginia was. I'm thinking she's going to end up leaving him, and I yeah. wouldn't blame her
That's
at
what
all.
It feels like. It feels like this baby is going to be the start of their divorce yeah. or their divorce, separation.
Yeah.
Because now that she's not satisfied and she has nothing to love and she realizes that he's so... like disconnected from her. Mm-hmm. I think that she's still in search of love. I think the reason she wanted the baby is because she wasn't satisfied in her marriage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she wanted something to love.
To bring now them she, together.
Yeah,
too.
Now she's yeah. like, okay, well, the baby's not an option. Let me disconnect from you and maybe true love is still available for me.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to try again. He claims that it was too hard on him and hard on her, which, mm-hmm. you know, I think is just a coward way out of being like, I don't want a kid, instead of saying that. You know?
Well, we see him get upset with his mother when she tells him everything's going to be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes off on her.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I think that has a lot to do with his history, you know, when he was a kid and the whole father situation, which
unresolved
I'm sure we'll find
issues.
Out yeah, yeah. about saying that. And probably, like, you know, the scene where he's getting beat and she's turning up the radio because she's thinking, like, okay, I'm not going to step into that.
Mm.
And so I think that's just probably growing up. She probably was, you know, masking a lot of things that were going on, saying it was going to be fine, saying things were going to be okay
yeah.
to the point where he just, and I think that's why he's now a disconnected adult.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that plays, and we'll probably see it unfold more now that the mom is in the picture.
Yeah.
She's going to be around. We're going to see more about what happened with that situation and the father and all of that.
Well, I got a question. Why? I want to know what happened to him before, because in one of the episodes where there's a flashback and he's talking to his boss, he is this crazy, loose, looks like he makes fun, has jokes. Mm-hmm. Where did we lose that? I want to know where we lost
that. His father passing away.
Mm.
Libby mentions that she's seen him lose it before when he lost his father. And so his father dying was, I think, a pivotal point or a turning point uh-huh. in his life for him. And I think that's probably where he either became angry or he lashed out or he became this cold person. Because he was softer.
Yeah.
But it had to have been during him and Libby's marriage. So it was more recent that his father, you know, passed away, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, it was like 5 years, I think they said, because when the mom walked out, she's like, it's been buried for 5 years.
Right.
I'm pretty sure the ties
That's
to the father.
The time. Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
So you think that his personality completely went cold when his father died?
Or maybe with the added responsibility of his level of power, you know, with his success, he may have, like, conformed to this person that he thinks he has to be, that society has kind of pushed him into.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't even know if it's so much society. I think that oftentimes we find with physicians a God complex where you start to believe in yourself and you start mm-hmm. to think that you're the almighty. Because we touched on religion a lot this episode where yeah. they kept bringing it up and he has a lot of doubt. So mm-hmm. he has faith in himself and in science. And so when you base everything on science, I think that you start to lose the faith and love aspect and the yeah. emotional connection. I think
True.
That
Definitely.
He becomes very robotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that a lot with him. This episode, though, he had a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll talk about his breakthrough in just a little bit. But we have to talk about Virginia and her babies. So she has her kids at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we see this episode that her kids are angry with her and they're taking it out on mom because, you know, just like everybody else in the world, her kids are going to have parent issues, okay? All of us have them. Everybody comes from a dysfunctional family. I don't know anybody who comes from, you know, really the Cosbys. And so...
Just a few of us out there. Just a few.
Well, that is like far and few.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Virginia's raising these kids in a single parent home. She doesn't want to disappoint her children and let them know that their father doesn't really want them.
Mm-hmm.
But she's taking on the burden of having to juggle her career plus parenthood.
Yeah.
And her son starts taking it out on her. What's the point of even having a mom?
Yeah.
If you're never going to be around. And it takes it as far as to even run away this most recent time that she disappoints him.
Right.
And so what was that? Was that him, he was acting out for attention?
Maybe, but she does suck as a mom.
Oh, you think she's really a bad mom?
Well, I mean, I know she's doing as much as she can, and it's not enough, but you have to keep your word, you know? And she was like, just building up the cherry pie and the Ferris wheel. And there's a certain extent to where you have to cut off work and be a mom or be a wife or be ever who you are. I work so much. Like, I can't stop. Like, I work a lot. But there's a time where I cut things off family or obligations other than work. There's just so much more to that in life.
Do you think her leaving, making the kids stay in the hospital was a work-related thing? Because it was more, it seemed like a friend type of thing. I know that Masters asked her to stay in, but she's actually created a friendship with Libby, so maybe it was more of a motherly, hey.
It didn't seem like a friendship thing between her and Libby. It seemed as an obligation, as an emergency to Dr. Masters, you know. And I understand that was a huge thing to not, you know, to keep walking out. But she's, like, walked out on her children so many times and let them down that I felt like she really needs to step up on the mom plate.
But I see what you mean, because she had the choice of, she didn't know what was on that phone call. She didn't know. She chose to go back and get it. So I see what your point is.
Well, I mean, you see that the fact that this job is consuming her life, just as it consumed Master's life, but she's actually a part of something. And she did say, I mean, in her defense, you know, obviously her ex-husband is a deadbeat. He's not doing his part financially. She has to do all of that with what she's making. But I agree with you. There has a point where you have to make time. And there's times that she could have made time, or she could have been like, I need to go home and, you know, be with my family. Mm-hmm. But she's chose on her own free will to be like, okay, I'll stay and help, or I'll stay and finish the job or whatever is asked of me, because she really is involved with this.
And she goes above and beyond to put herself front and center of Dr. Masters.
For sure.
Well, she's also in a place of amazing opportunity, though. Yeah. Right. And so it's kind of like, this is part of the reason why a lot of companies or corporations don't want to hire single parent women with children. Mm-hmm. They get discriminated against because oftentimes women will call out sick because they have to take care of their child, or they'll miss, you know, deadlines because they need to make sure that they're at the kid's recital. I mean, it's hard to juggle both. So what is Virginia to do? Is she to be, you know, 100% amazing mom, or be amazing at her job?
So she's being like 0% amazing mom.
She's not zero. She's at like 12%.
She hasn't done anything. We haven't seen her motherly side. We haven't seen her put her kids first or anything. And I say you need to be a mom first, because 10 years from now, is it going to matter that you kept walking? No. It's going to matter that your kids have that memory of going to the Ferris wheel and having that cherry pie and knowing that they were a priority to her.
But do you think the sacrifice she's making now in her career with what's happening is what she's maybe thinking about for the future of her children?
Yeah. I feel like if you're a single mother, you don't get the opportunity to put your career head first. You can't be in this. You have two children. You made choices that are preventing you from living this life of having a glorified career where you're on groundbreaking research and you get to discover all this stuff and work 16-hour nights. You don't get that because you're a mom.
So then what does she do? Not work? And then she's basically
she
broke?
Boundaries.
And then
she makes boundaries. She's not staying. She's not trying to clock in all these hours so she can pay bills.
Mm-hmm. So then do you think she actually loves her kids then?
Yeah, of course she loves her kids.
I mean, there's
I'm
a
not
difference
saying she's
between
a total jerk, but I'm just saying.
But you said 0%. That's kind of jerkish. Zero.
She is at zero. I'm surprised she feeds her kids.
It can also be argued, though, that when you have children, that shouldn't be debilitating, that you shouldn't allow the kids to be an excuse for you not to achieve or excel. There's a lot of single parents who have made huge milestones or breakthroughs in, you know, society that were able to juggle both. And some of them, their children probably did suffer because of it.
They do. And you just need to, I think that you are making your bed there, you know, because in, you know, 20 years later when they're grown up and dysfunctional in their own relationships, in their own life, it might be because of the dysfunctional kind of love they were given as a child. And I think that's more important. I want to, if I choose to have children, I want to raise functional, contributing members of society. And I don't think, and I will have to put my career behind, because I feel like raising humans is a huge deal.
Because of the responsibility.
Yeah, there's a huge undertaking, you know. And I'm conflicted because she said she, in the very, like, I don't know if it was like the first or second episode, she said she had kids because she thought she had to. And then in this episode, she came out and said that she had kids because she wanted to.
Yeah, her that was a little confusing
did.
Part.
It was conflicting to see, like, did she ever want kids? And then today, it seemed like she definitely did.
Yeah, it kind of made me question if she had to love her kids or if she really did love and wanted to have her kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because meanwhile in the other room is a mother or a wannabe mother that wants a child to love and yet can't have it. So it's kind of an interesting take on her perspective of if she really wants the kid or not, you know? Even though she has them.
Yeah, it's
kind of the option.
Yeah, it's kind of go between. I will say, though, in defense, like, you know, my mother, she wasn't a single mother. You know, we, it's both of us, but she went back to school with five kids. So she wasn't there like she had been before going back to school and all of that. So, but she did it because for the sake of when she was done with school, it was going to give us a better life as children.
Right.
So, I mean, you can look at it both ways, but I think her, she's very ambiguous with what she's trying to say.
I have to raise my hand on this.
Okay. Take it.
Because that's a really good point. I'm thinking of it as Virginia's in a marriage, right? I'm sure she had no intentions of, one, being a single parent.
Correct. Yeah.
Two, of having to be the sole provider for her children. So when she's put in a position where she winds up being disappointed by the man that she decided to spend the rest of her life with, she now has to overcompensate and pick up the slack, whether it be as the financial support and the head of the household, which, if she really wants a better life for her children, she is going to have to take on more responsibility career-wise. She's not going to be able to give them the lap of luxury as just somebody's secretary. So I think...
She hasn't mentioned giving anybody the lap of luxury. She hasn't mentioned
I think she wants
future.
Respect in the medical industry.
I think it's her. I think she's doing this all for her.
You think she's being selfish?
Yeah. I don't think she's I want to provide. I think she wants to keep food in the icebox, as she mentioned. But I feel like this whole journey, all this time in the brothels and all this time with Dr. Masters is selfish. Like, this is all her own agenda.
I agree. I think that it is. I agree with you, actually. You're absolutely right. I think that it is for her. But
and that's okay. I'm not saying that. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Be a part of something amazing.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's bad. And I was raised by a single mother, you know, who had a boyfriend for a very long time that I consider my father figure. So, but we were primarily in her care. And we took the back seat a lot so she could work. And she bought a business and ran it. And she worked long hours and we didn't have a mom at night, and I didn't have a mom when I was coming home, you know, and it was for the betterment of our family, but mm-hmm. is that for the betterment of the family is what I'm really curious.
So being that happened to you, how do you feel about that?
I wish I would have had my mom. I would have given anything to have my mom after school. I had so many friends that had moms that stayed at home, and we'd go over and they'd have snacks and they would be there to help
us.
But
how did
the
mom stay at home? Who's going to pay the bills if mom stays at home?
Well, they had a husband.
So it's like, okay, either if you're a single parent home, it's like, okay, putting shoes on my kid's feet.
That's true.
Or reading additional stories to them. I mean, you have to make a choice.
I just don't think the extent of which she works is necessary.
In this situation.
Yeah.
Well, we see, I do think that she brought up a great point. She says that it orders a kid's universe to have both parents there.
Yes.
And I agree with that. I think that every child does need both parents. But unfortunately, that's not the reality. And I think that, yes, her kids are suffering because of it. And we see, you know, them act out. He runs away. He goes as far as to say that he doesn't think that his mom really loves him and that she doesn't really care. And I think that children act out and, her son is obviously taking it personal that she's not there and threatening that he wants to live with dad. But at the same time, what is she to do? Like, what other option does she have? She's put in an amazing position that any woman at that time would have died for back then.
Well, so, let's interview her kids. They're
still
Bring them on in.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Tell us what really affected you.
We're debating a lot on this episode.
Right.
Okay, so let's get back to Dr. Masters and wrap up things. He
had a breakthrough.
He had a breakthrough.
Oh, that crying
episode.
Scene. Oh, yes.
Still looking.
He's just crying.
Can I say how adorable it is when a man that is so hard on the outside opens up from the inside and you see that pouring through? It was, I like totally cried. I was so.
Happens to me all the time.
My favorite part of the entire season so far, when
absolutely
he breaks down in the office with Virginia. She
and
comes
literally
in
shuts
there.
Her eyes.
Yeah. but he treated that, she forced that out of him. She was like, no, you're not going to work tonight. You're going to stay at home with your wife. You're going to be sensitive for once. Because he's just so hardcore and disconnected.
Yeah.
And the fact that he starts to, you know, she knows that he's taking it, that he's blaming himself, and she gets that out of him. She gets him to admit that he blames himself, that he didn't really want the kid, and she tells him, you're not that powerful. Like, you didn't create this, you know, that you didn't speak this into existence.
Yeah.
And so for him to start crying and finally show some emotion mm-hmm. about the pregnancy and the loss thereof was, like you said, a breakthrough. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. huge.
Michael Sheen has done a wonderful job, I feel like, so far, because he has played so many different characters
yeah.
before. So I know this isn't like how he acts normally. So, I mean, he's really stepping out of his role, I feel like, to do this. And I think he's doing a great job because we have this inner conflict with him to where we love him, but we don't like him. And he's so douchey and he can like draw all these emotions out of us. And, but he is probably still my favorite character because he is so mysterious and there is so many layers there that I don't even know what kind of woman it would take to get through to those, you know, just mm-hmm. someone that forces their way and says, I'm staying no matter what, be whoever you want to be. I'm not scared.
Well, yeah. I think also, too, he's very, because of his feelings that he has for her, he's very comfortable with her. So I don't think he wouldn't have done that even in front of his wife. I don't
yeah,
think.
Or his mother.
Yeah, or his mother.
That's the
yeah.
awful part, yeah. though, yeah. is yeah. that now his wife once again gets to feel this lack of love or this lack of care from him because he's giving this emotion, which is extremely powerful, to mm-hmm. Virginia and not to Libby.
Right.
Like, his wife should be in there. His yeah. wife should be a part of that. His wife should get to see him suffer because she's suffering and she thinks
they should suffer together.
Yeah, yeah. suffer together. Lean on each other.
I think Virginia, because when she was talking to Libby and how Libby was explaining that he shuts down and he gets in that way, I think that gave information for Virginia to be, okay, this is his moment where mm-hmm. he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. I need to force it out of him. So I think that's why she stuck around and was able to get that out. Meanwhile, Libby's kind of in the right in her own mind, like going in her own direction, you know. That made no sense what I just said.
No, it did. I mean, Libby's, you know, she's in another place right now because yeah, right. what she just went
yeah,
through.
Exactly.
Right. No,
yeah.
it made sense. But yeah. but the problem is that now, once again, he's making a connection with Virginia.
Which I'm okay with.
Which should have been with his wife.
Why is he so team then? They're not like a romantic couple.
They might. You never know. Wait till that starts yeah. happening. Yeah.
How do you feel about like when her ex-husband came in and she didn't give his name, but she told him that his ex-husband was there and he went through and searched so he can find out what he had to say about that?
We talked about that last episode. That obviously was part of his obsession with Virginia.
Right.
And I think that he too, just like Ethan, has this infatuation with her and almost intrigue because there wasn't a lot of women like her in that time that was so sexually empowered and driven and outspoken the way mm-hmm. that she is.
Right.
But also I think that part of that is also a turnoff to a lot of men.
Right.
So I think that he's intrigued with her. Mm. He's definitely intrigued with her. I don't think that he's in love with her yet, though.
Not yet.
I don't think that he still understands
love.
Yeah. I think that that's going to be a process. And that she'll potentially get that out of him. Mm. Let's do AfterBuzz predictions since we're kind of like going into them. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I do that to someone? We've been predicting this whole time what's going to happen.
Right.
Do you guys think that next episode they're going to actually start right after, like just the next day? Or do you think they're going to go up ahead again? Because in the last two episodes, they've been skipping ahead.
Yeah, as far as like the pregnancy was concerned, and they jump forward.
Do you think they're going to jump forward or maybe Libby left him or anything like that? Or do you think it's going to pick up right where it left off?
No, I think they're going to skip. I think it's going to pick up right where they left off, really? Maybe within a week. I think we're going to see Libby leave, though.
I think
in this episode, you think so?
No, by the end of the season, I think she's going to give him an ultimatum or leave.
Yeah.
I feel she's going to leave him, though.
Now, what they didn't address was whether the baby was really Dr. Masters' semen or not, because we had a prediction that it could have been Ethan that implanted his own sperm inside of Libby in order to get her pregnant, because we know that Dr. Masters has a low sperm count.
Right.
I was thinking about that too.
I don't think it was Ethan's baby. I don't think so. I don't think he would have wanted to have anything, because I think he would have felt guilty for some reason and it would have came out later. And I think he wouldn't have done that. I do think it was his sperm. And I do think, and because of that scene when the stillborn and he's holding the baby and you have that moment.
You got that moment
where he's just like, this is my child.
That was an intimate moment.
And he has been cold up until that point. And all of a sudden you see that for a brief. But you see that glimpse. So that was definitely his baby.
The Catherine.
That was a real moment, them showing us that child.
Right.
I was once again touched by Dr. Masters in that moment. But I think that that Libby is going to leave him. And when she does leave him,
I hope she has some amazing sex.
Then she goes and gets Libby. It
I'm on Team Libby.
You're on Team Libby.
But see, Roy, you think that Dr. Masters is going to, what, feel free to go after Virginia after that?
Well, once Libby leaves him, I feel like that's what's going to happen. He's going to be more open. He's like, hey, we got to do our studies now. Let's do that. I think he's going to push the study, make it more science versus what he really wants.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think that, and this is a AfterBuzz prediction that I just kind of came up with right now. I think for as far as Virginia and Ethan's relationship is concerned, he is going to take on that like fatherly role.
Yeah.
That Vivian is going to find out that there was a relationship between them, and she's going to start to try to figure out how to push Virginia out of the hospital.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And there you all have it. Masters of Sex.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you guys join us next Sunday. And once again, you can tweet at us at AfterBuzzTV. You can play with my Twitter at Spicy_Madi or stroke my Instagram at Spicy_Madi. And let us know what you guys think. Rate us on iTunes. Give us your feedback. Where can they find you, Lim?
You can find me at The Poet Saint on Twitter, The Poet Saint on Facebook, Poet Saint on Instagram. It's all The Poet Saint. That's how I roll.
Jenna?
I'm at Jenna Time Tweets.
And I'm on Twitter with Hey Roya, and I'm also on Instagram, Hey Roya. Made it simple. It's the same.
Let us know what you guys think, your thoughts and opinions, and check us out next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.